Are we awake? Yeah. It's a little cooler out there today, but we always get one day cold, one more day, and it's usually right around Mother's Day. And this year, it's on it. But it is what it is, right? So I know it's Mother's Day. I don't do a lot of Mother's Day messages, and today I'm not doing it either. I'll tell you what pastors actually do. We lift up moms really great, and then when it comes to Father's Day, we just tear them down. And I don't like that. I don't like that. So, because men who preach just feel like, you know, I got to be nice to the ladies, got to do that. But when it comes to the men, we just start going for the throat, the jugular right off the bat. And you know what? I'd rather just preach another part of God's word and for everybody. But once in a while, I'll do that. But yeah. So you're not going to hear a Mother's Day message. It's for everyone here. Sometimes some of the guys would come to church, we think it's going to be a Mother's Day message. I know whenever you hear Proverbs 31, all the guys are like, okay, now I can zone out for a minute. And then all the ladies go, oh no, I can never be that woman. And so it's kind of not a big, it's not as hard. It's hard. I know today some of you do not have your mother with you anymore. So it's special in some sense, and there's still some emotions and memories, and some of you have lost children and those kind of things. So even with the Mother's Day, it's not always a picture of good things, but when you're with the Lord, you can have good memories and know that sometimes the best is yet to come. So this morning, I am going to be in Luke chapter 13 is where we are going to be. Luke chapter 13. You ever look at somebody's life and see how much trouble they have and some bad things start to happen to them, and then somebody says, well, they must be a big sinner. The more problems you have, the bigger sinner that they must be. And the Israelites at this time, and Jesus is doing his things with his people, and Jews kind of had that kind of mindset that they were a little better than everybody else because they had Moses, they had Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They were the special, they were the blue bloods on the earth, per se. They were the blue bloods. They were unique, they were special, they were God's chosen people. And Jesus is going to share with them that don't you think you're as good as you think that you are. And Jesus has a way of doing that. First of all, he shares in chapter 13, he says there in verse 1, there was present at this season. Someone told Jesus it would be him, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So what we see here is we see Pilate, and there was some mingling, there was something that was done with some blood and some sacrifices. And people said, oh, the Galileans must have been bad people. And Jesus answered in verse 2, he said to them, do you suppose that those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? Then he says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then he changes it and shifts it to some current event, another current event. He says, or those 18 who the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you all likewise will perish. He's addressing his own people because they thought that they were at a place where they were just better. They were less sinners. They were better than the rest of the world. And he was also telling them that you also need to repent, which means you need to repent from your sins. And so he comes to a place now, he comes to where I want to work on is the next four verses here. And he tells of a parable. Now, a parable is a piece, it's a fictitious story that Jesus used a lot to teach biblical morals, a biblical truth. in a way that many couldn't understand it until he, Holy Spirit, gave them understanding. Okay, but he taught in parables. And then many times he would go off to the side. If his disciples didn't understand it, he would teach them the parable. But it wasn't until the Holy Spirit came that they began to understand what all these parables mean. But he's going to use a parable here. And I'm going to read that to you. In verse 6, he says, he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this tree and found none. I find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." What we see here is a parable. For many of us, we just like, what does all that mean? But what we know here is we know that God, right in this parable, God is the man. He is the certain man. He is the man that's coming to check on a fig tree that he had planted. And what we see here is we see the fig tree that was planted in the vineyard. The vineyard is representing, we're going to say it's representing Jerusalem, or not Jerusalem, but the Jews, the Israelites, the Jews. And we can use this in many ways, but in Scripture you'll see the vineyard seems to always be God's people, okay? And then what we see here is the fig tree. That's us. That's who we are, okay? That's supposed to be God's people. And that's people in general. And what we see here is that there is a keeper of the vineyard, and we're going to say that that is Jesus Christ, all right? So when we look at those things, we look at the first piece as we see a certain man. We see the Lord coming down. He had planted a fig tree. He had planted a fig tree in his vineyard, okay? Now, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ, the Lord is patient. He has more patience than you and I. He has more patience than you and I. Now, what we see here is a piece of Jesus wanting to open up his people's eyes and saying, don't think that you're as good as you think that you are. He says, I tell you, no one, he says, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. God is the owner of all things. He is the owner of you, the owner of the world, the universe, your body, and everything in it. But God, what we see in these scriptures is that he waited a long time. He kept coming back, and he waited 3 years for this to grow. But not just to grow, but to bear fruit. But God was patient. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I'm glad the Lord didn't come when some wanted him to come. But God was disappointed. I don't think he had high expectations. He just wanted some fruit. I don't think he wanted high expectations. He just came in time after time, but he wanted some fruit. He came looking year after year for 3 years. You see, if you really look into this scripture, this is important for you that know your Bible some. He says he came 3 years. Jesus is getting ready to come maybe 4 or 5 months, maybe about right before he goes to the cross. It's about 3 years. He says, I've been coming for 3 years. I've come 3 years. Jesus is closing in on the end of his 3-year piece. The tree looks alive. It's got leaves on it. If you cut a branch, you know that you don't have to see leaves to see if it's alive. If you cut a branch, it's green inside, it's still alive. And he says, I come for 3 years. It's time to cut it down. When he says it's time to cut it down, which means judgment. You've had your time. You've had your spill. You're not producing anything. I planted you. You look alive. You're living. But there's no fruit. There's no fruit. He's disappointed. Let me ask you a question. Is God disappointed with you and what he sees when he comes to check on you? Is he disappointed? Is he disappointed? Only you can answer that. And he knows the answer. That's kind of a tough spot to be. But we need to look a little bit further. And he checks in on the keeper. He said to the keeper of the vineyard, he said, look, for 3 years I've been coming to this fruit of the to seek fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. And cut it down. Why does he even use up the ground? Almost like, why are you even here? You're not doing anything. But then the keeper answered, and he said to the man, he said, sir, let this alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. That is important. Okay, that is important. What we see here is we see Jesus Christ interceding for you and I. Now, we cannot escape. This is a parable. I do not want you to think that God does not love you. For John chapter 3, verse 16 says, God does love you. He loves the whole world, that he gave his only son. Okay? Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that God loves people. But he came to check and he saw no fruit. And he said, cut it down. But the keeper said, just a sec. He's going to intercede. And I want to show you in scripture, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says this. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That being Jesus, interceding for the believers. In Romans 8:34, he says, who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So there is a piece here that we see that this keeper is interceding for this fruit tree, this fig tree, that has produced nothing. Nothing, yet he's still interceding. He says, I want to give me one more year. One more year. One more year. I want to ask you, how long does God got to wait for you to get yourself in gear? How long does God got to wait for you to start bearing some fruit? You're alive. You're here today. You're breathing the air that he created, the body that he gave to you. But how long has he got to wait before you produce fruit? Oh, the Lord will meet you in the pig pen. The Lord will meet you in the gutter. He'll meet you in the alley. He'll meet you anywhere you're at. He'll meet you in the back of the bar alley. He'll meet you in the bar. He'll meet you anywhere. But he doesn't want to leave you there. But if he keeps coming back and are there, you got no fruit. You're just taking the life that he's given to you in that soil. And he says, just put the axe down on it. Cut it, take it down, and get rid of it. It's using up the soil. It's not a hard God. It's actually a loving God. And Jesus says, just one second. Let me invest a little bit more. Now I want to tell you, God's invested a lot in us. Jesus invested he's invested everything as well. He gave his life so that you and I might live. Quit thinking you're so smart. I have to look in the mirror. I'm not that smart. If we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, we know it's wrong. We're not smart people. But I want to tell you, the keeper says, let me have it for another year. Kiefer says, I'm not just going to watch it. I'm not going to just watch it. I'm going to dig around it. I'm going to love on it. And I'm going to invest and I'm going to fertilize in it and give it a boost. Isn't that what Jesus is doing for us? Imagine we're all fig trees today. Is there anything growing on you? That's fruit. Anything growing on you? That's fruit. Let me share with you for a moment. Well, I'm not going to go there. The fruit, you need to know that what the world is offering you is not the fruit God's talking about. It's patience. Forbearance is what your NIV says, but the other version says patience, and the King James says long-suffering. There's a purpose. It's patience. There's a joy. There's a gentleness. There's self-control, those things. And the keeper digging around, and he's fertilizing it with these awesome things they're putting in there, those good things of God putting in there. But here's the thing. He's not going to make fruit come out. It's still the responsibility of the fruit tree to bear the fruit. And you cannot bear fruit if you are not forgiven. You cannot bear fruit if you do not repent. You just can't do it. You can't be all God wants you to be when you're trying to be all that your inner self wants to be, all the world, all your flesh wants to be. You can't do it. You must repent. That's what he's talking about. Repent. You must repent. You want your life to change, get your focus off yourself. If you want your life to change, get your focus off yourself. Start focusing on God, and God will put you in the center. Let him do the work that only he can do. Amen. He'll intercede for you. The Bible says, we just read that he will intercede for you. That means you begin your prayer life with him. He'll intercede and he'll speak to you. God will do amazing things. He'll be patient with you. Like I said, he will meet you anywhere. He met Zacchaeus in a tree. He met Peter, James, and John and those kind of guys out on the seashore. He'll meet people anywhere. Moses at a burning bush. But when you start walking with God, he takes you from where he met you into a place where you cannot go on your own, but you can only go there if you allow him to lead you there. And if you follow the way he wants you to go, fruit will begin to pop off of you all over the place. And you will be a fruitful tree. Now, sometimes there are fruit that looks real, looks good, but it's not. The Bible says it's like wild grapes. If you eat wild grapes, it tastes bad. Not good for you. They look like grapes, but they're not the right kind of grapes. You see, some people can look like they got fruit in their lives, but it's not the kind of fruit God's looking for. It's the flesh. It's the worldly fruit. It's sour. It's no good at all. God's patience and grace, love toward men, will turn someday. And judgment will come, and it will happen because the Bible says it will come, and it will happen. And we, as these fig trees, when God comes to return, he wants to see that there is fruit. In your life. Going to church is not fruit, but being faithful is. Do you all get that? Giving something is not fruitful, but when you do it with a cheerful heart, is fruit. Just asking for forgiveness of sin is not just fruit, but it's when you forgive others of what they've done against you is fruit. The fruit is different than what sometimes we may think it is. Helping others when it takes your time and you had to sacrifice something to help someone else. Whether that be materials or that would have been time or that would have been something else. The fruit that God is looking for is the things that only He can do. Jesus says He's going to dig around it. He's going to dig around it and He's going to fertilize it. Let me tell you, when you are with God, He just keeps investing in you over and over and over. And the more you invest in something, the more you expect something to turn out, to get something in return. And Jesus was telling them, listen, you think those people who were killed and that Pilate had them and they cut them up and put their blood into some kind of sacrifice, and you think those people that the tower fell on them, that they were all worse sinners than you? We're all sinners. All men and women need to repent before God. Quit thinking so much. Start processing the word. Quit thinking so much and start praying. And listening. Stop talking so much. Start listening and praying. God has a lot to say. We just want to trump and be louder. I see this peace. It's almost like that fig tree is there. There's all these other fig trees may be producing fruit. This one's not. It's almost like we got to work a little extra on this fig tree. Does anybody feel like God has to do a little extra work on you compared to everybody else? Just compared to everybody else, God's got to do a little bit more on you. So if you feel that's true, the question is, are you letting Him do the work? Are you letting Him do what He needs to do? Now, what does that look like? You know, if you know anything about roses, you need to trim those roses and prune those roses. Sometimes when everything looks so beautiful, when you prune your flowers and, you know, your perennials, and sometimes you've got to prune, you've got to get that off so the new life will come up and they'll produce even more. So sometimes when something that we feel like bad has happened, sometimes God's allowing something to happen. I'm not talking about sinful things, but when something happens in our life, God is, you can use that to bring you to a place that you could not go if you didn't go through it. So if you were diagnosed with cancer, and God brings you through that on the other side, and when God brings you to the other side, guess what? When you hear the word cancer, ding, ding, little bells, go off. You have a connection that many people in the room may not have. And you hear that. And someone is breaking and hurting through that. And you pray about that. And God uses you to move over to that person and just converse with them. I also went through cancer. Boom. I know how you feel. You're not the only one. What is happening? Fruit is starting to grow. But sometimes God's got to cut a little bit. The keeper's got to cut some things and some limbs and some branches that may look great today. But unless it gets pruned, fruit's not going to happen. Sometimes that fruit has to be taken off because it's been up there too long and got to take it off and got to get new fruit has to come. What do I mean by that? Your testimonies are amazing and what you did back in the day is great. But if you let it up there too long, it kind of gets old. It's not that it has. You need new fruit. What does that mean? That you are continually to serve the Lord, that you continually to worship Him, that your life is not just at that moment of salvation. I repented and now I'm saved and I got baptized and I'm good to go and then I can just separate myself. No. That's just the beginning. Because the owner of the vineyard, The owner of the fig tree came year after year, and there was a conversation that the fig tree didn't hear. I see no fruit. When you don't think God is watching, let me correct us. He's always watching. So he's been watching me for 53 years. How long has he been watching you? How old are you? It's time to be what he made you to be. He keeps coming back. He's not finding fruit. Judgment is coming. But thank God for the intercessor, Jesus Christ, who says, just give me a little more time. Just a little bit. And I want to tell you this. I want you all to look at me this. If you cannot change yourself. If you could, you would. You would have done it already. You know your weaknesses. You know the things you do. If you could have changed it, you would have done it already. So we need to admit that we can't make those changes without Jesus Christ, the keeper of the vineyard, who does the digging and the fertilizing, and he works it. But the scriptures also says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's just rephrase that just for today. I can do all things through the keeper of the vineyard who strengthens me, who fertilizes me, who digs around me. So you can do it if you do it in Christ, but you cannot do it alone. Because you're not that good. I'm not that good. We're not that talented. And even talent's not going to get you there. This is a God thing. This is a God move. Because we've all sinned. And my sin is my sin. And the man comes down. And he looks at the vineyard. And he says, that one right there. I see no fruit. That one, I see no fruit. That one, I see no fruit. When he points to you, does he see fruit? Does he see fruit? Does he see fruit? We who know that Jesus Christ, who he is, have the salvation in ourselves. But Jesus Christ, we have him in ourselves. We know that he's coming again. We know that. Amen? Jesus is coming again. That's the promise, and God's always kept his promises, and that's a promise that's still yet to come. When he comes, he's not checking fruit. He's not checking fruit. Not doing that. He knows the ones he knows. There's fig trees that have fruit, have repented, he already knows. Judgment will come on those fig trees that have no fruit, that have not repented. Judgment will come upon people who have not repented. So I ask you, how's it going? One of the most intimidating things that can be is when you stand, I'm ex-military, so you stand at the position of attention. You just stand at attention. And it isn't what's looking in front of you. You can be intimidated by all the brass and the guys that are standing in front of you. It's when they step in front of you and they go and they take a walk around you. Now you can see them out of your peripheral vision, and they come in there, and they're just making this slow step, and you can feel the breath on the back of your neck. You know what they're doing? They're looking at everything on your body to make sure the creases are all right. They're making sure that you got up this morning, you got up and you took care of business, and it comes around, and they will turn around, and they, if it's not right, they will just, I mean, telling you, they'll rip that jacket right off. Because some things have to be an eighth of an inch. One metal has to be an eighth of an inch. This has to be so far. The cufflinks have to be right. Everything has to be right. Everything has to be right. And it's very intimidating. Because that person in front of you is high ranking. High ranking. But I want to tell you, you don't go there in the beginning. You got to go through another group of men. It's usually a non-commissioned, usually like a staff sergeant, someone that knows you, is going to go in there and goes, man, you need to straighten this up. You ain't going to make it through inspection. They'll help you out. But they'll do all that work. Help you say, hey, you need to work on them shoes. You need to work on that. And by the way, you need to get a haircut. Listen, all that stuff. You get up there and they get you prepared. But whatever that person's prepared you from, you still have to stand before that brass. And I want to tell you, that officer can come around, that NCO, that sergeant major can come around, that first sergeant, they can rip it all off. Or they can walk by and say, well done, good soldier, and move on to the next one. Boom. And there may be 50 guys in a line, and you're standing there for 30, 40 minutes, just stomach in, chest out, trying to do it right. But I want to tell you something. The only ones that get to stand in that line are soldiers. Every one of them is a United States soldier. And as they stand there, they are representing to be a United States soldier. And it is something to see when you're standing in line, and you see someone down there just get tore up. And they get it all ripped off. You know what happens? That person goes back and we're all done. That person goes back to the bay. Sometimes everybody gets corporate punishment. Sometimes it didn't. Sometimes they lose a pass. Sometimes they didn't. But here's what happened. Good soldiers would rally around that soldier and say, you need to get yourself squared away, soldier. You need to get yourself squared away. You're hurting the whole company. You're hurting the whole squad. I want to tell you, that's what we should be doing to those who are producing no fruit. We should be able to help them that are not producing fruit. We are all going to stand before God and give an account. Jesus Christ is preparing us for that. Through the Holy Spirit, He prepares us that we might be ready. But it's the ones that are not acting right. It's the ones that are not, this is for you Christians. This is the ones that says, hey, I'm good to go, but you're not acting like one. Your stuff is way out of order. You will be held up. I'm telling you, God knows. You can't play. You cannot play with Him. He loves you. It's not about Him not loving you. It's not about Him not loving you. He's doing it because He loves you. I wonder, it's an old term the military uses. Get squared away, soldier, which means you better get yourself together or the hammer's coming down. That's not a fearful, scary message. It's about producing fruit. It's about producing fruit. So let me ask you a question. I asked you if there's any fruit growing in your life. Some of us would say, yeah, I think so. My question is, what fruit are you bearing? Can you name it? Because if we're easy on anybody in the world, guess what? We're easy on ourselves. We can say we're hard to other people. Yeah, I'm hard on myself, but really we're easy on ourselves. What fruit are you producing? Or maybe you don't have fruit. It's a sign you need to repent. For you that are believers, you need to repent from that sin. You that are not believers, but are saying, hey, you know, I'm beginning to understand that I need Christ in my life, and you need to repent. And that's what we're getting ready to do. So let's go ahead and stand. I want us to stand this morning and come to a place that I'm going to do something. I'm just going to do something. I'm going to do something, and I'm not trying to. Well, I'm going to walk around this room one time, and I'm going to look at all back of all your heads. I'm going to look at you. I'm not going to see your face. I'm going to see the back of you. I'm going to see if I know you from the back of your head. You know what that means? You know the hardest time to fight in the battle is when it's dark. And when you spend enough time with people, you'll know them by their silhouette. You'll know them by the back of their head, not by just being known their front, but from the rear. You'll know them. And I'm going to walk around, not try to be intimidating. I'm just going to walk and see who I know. The scripture says, a certain man came. Why did he come? I'm going to see if I got fruit on my fig trees. And he found one that didn't have fruit. Cut it down. Why should it waste up the soil? And then the keeper steps in and says, give me just a little more time. Praise God for that time. Some of you know you needed it. A little more time. Come back in a year. So if you want to come.